The goal of this workshop, if you would read there the first line on the handout, the goal of the workshop this morning
is to recognize Jesus' total lordship of the universe and his claim to the life of every person.
All right, now, men, why do you think that the goal is to recognize? I have that underlined there. Why do you think it is to recognize Jesus' lordship?
Square one.
Okay. The beginning place? Okay. Someone else?
It's a choice.
Okay. Someone else?
Well, could it be we have a responsibility?
Okay. We have a responsibility in it. We all read across the top of the board this morning, Jesus is Lord. Is that the truth? Now, if that's the truth, what if we don't recognize his lordship?
He still is.
He's still Lord. That's right. Okay. So, Jesus is Lord. Let's say that again. Jesus is Lord. Whether we recognize it, whether we experience it, whether we know it or not, Jesus is Lord. And so, my hope is that when we leave here this morning, that I myself, along with all you men, will recognize and acknowledge and accept the Lordship of Jesus Christ over our lives. The truth. Read for us there, Bob, the truth.
Experiencing the Lordship of Christ is not so much giving but receiving. Christian life is not a struggle but surrender. You must be in the position of submission to Jesus before you experience his lordship.
All right, guys, somebody tell me now, what does that mean?
I like the illustration that Campus Crusade uses. They've got a circle with a throne on it, and you can either put a J up there for Jesus or you can put an S up there for self, but it can't be both. And so I guess I just... visually is making sure that Jesus is on the throne of your life and not your own self-interest.
Okay. Rennie.
And one exception to that, we have the power to dethrone Christ in our life? Or is it just a matter of he is always on the throne once he comes in, and it's just a matter of whether we are going to be rebellious to that authority in our life?
Okay. What do you think?
What I personally believe?
Yeah.
I believe that I do not have the power to dethrone Christ in my life. I have the power to be rebellious. I have the power to not accept him as the throne on that position. Very much like a king coming in and taking a country, there are these little pockets of guerrilla warfare that say, I will never bow my knee. I will fight you to the end. That. It does not change who sits on the throne. But it does change their attitude is what becomes the problem. And there is conflict.
Okay.
I can't dethrone Christ from my life. He is Lord of my life, period.
Okay.
But the difference is how I react to that lordship.
Okay. Dennis?
Not to argue, but just to how I view it is that the first commandment of the Ten is thou shalt have no other gods before me. And, there is only one God. But that commandment infers that it is possible to, at least in your mind, have other gods. And so that's, in theory, I agree with you, but I also view it a little bit differently. The attitude really is what we're talking about and not what the ultimate play out of this whole thing down here on earth is. Yes, every knee's going to bow.
Yeah, I think that's true. The attitude is the whole thing.
Okay. Here's a coin. This coin has two sides, and it seems to me that that's what we're talking about here, and that is the issue. Two-sided coin. Jesus is Lord. That's the truth. But I have a responsibility in that truth. I have my part in that, and hopefully we're going to discover what some of that is as we go down through this study this morning. Number three, why is Jesus Lord? That's why we start right there with you. If you'd look up Colossians for us, and Alan, if you'd get the next verse, we're just going to kind of go round and down and back and forth and look up these passages of Scripture. Les?
Colossians 1:16-18. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things are together. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself might come to have first place in everything.
All right, now, Jesus' relationship to us as an individual, and we just heard John's message on the worth of the individual. You as an individual, Les, what is Jesus to you out of this passage?
He is my everything. He is everything.
All right. In the beginning, He was the
Creator.
He created us. He created every one of us. And up here on the board, we're saying what? Jesus is Lord. Why is Jesus Lord? Why is one reason that Jesus is Lord? He created us. See, He has a right to us because He created us. He made us. If it was not for Him, we wouldn't even be here. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. Alan, if you'd read that for us, please.
God, who at sundry times and in various manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world.
All right, that very last part there. He made the world. Everything. Does that include you and I? Okay, why is Jesus Lord? Because He is our Creator. He made us. All right, 1 Corinthians 6:20. Read that verse for us.
For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body.
Okay. Why is Jesus Lord out of that verse?
Paid
for us. He purchased us. Okay. What did He pay? His life. Life. Okay. His blood. Okay. So He redeemed us. Is that a good word? He redeemed us. He bought us back. Paid the price. He created us. Jesus is Lord. He made us. Jesus is Lord. He redeemed us. He paid the price. Jesus is Lord. Romans 14:9.
For this very reason Christ died and returned to life, so that He might be the Lord of both the dead and the living.
Lord of what?
Both the dead and the living.
Both the dead and the living. Alright. Now, in the above verses that we've looked at here, what all does Jesus control? Our life? What else? Our redemption? What else?
The world.
The world. What else?
Pretty much everything.
Yeah, pretty much everything. What? How did Crawford say he was in there this morning? Did he ever? 79? And he's talking about his what? That's coming? His death. He controls our death. Pretty much everything. Okay? And so, as a result of that, Jesus is Lord. All right? Let's list some synonyms for the word Lord. Synonym is similar, alike. Instead of the word Lord, what word would you add for us?
Master.
Good. Good word. Ruler. Okay. Good word.
Owner.
Owner? Good. What else?
Boss.
Boss. What else?
King.
All right, good. What else? Savior. Good. What else?
Keeper.
Keeper. Great. Another one?
Provider.
Provider. Okay. Controller.
Judge.
If he is Lord of everything, is he sovereign? Sovereign. Okay.
He'd be a
okay. I want you out of those list of words, I want you to look down that list and I want you to find the word that you best associate with as Lord. In your personal walk with God, which one of those words there do you best associate with Lord? Circle that word. Heard a guy say one time, if Jesus isn't Lord of all, then Jesus isn't Lord at all. And so Jesus wants every area of our life. Number four, what does making Jesus Lord involve? Let's all turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Verses 24 through 26.
Oh, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself,
take up
his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?
All right, out of verse 24, there's at least three things there listed, what it involved to make Jesus Lord. Somebody give me one of them.
Desire.
Desire, okay.
Deny self.
Deny self, okay. Another one.
Following Christ.
Another one.
Taking up the cross.
Okay. Anybody see anything else?
Well,
come up with four.
Okay,
first thing you got to come to him. That's Lauren's message Thursday night, wasn't it? Come to me, all ye who are weary. Can anybody see anything else in there? Okay, what was the first thing we listed there? Desire? Okay, let's hold on desire. We're going to cover that in just a second. The second thing was deny self. Somebody tell me what you think that might mean. What does it mean to deny self? I mean, that's something I don't understand exactly. Help me.
I think it means that when it comes to decision about something in your life, that I mean, you have your natural desires, but you run that through the filter of saying, nevertheless, it's not what I want, it's what you want, and I'm willing to lay this down if you've got something different.
Okay. To lay it down. Lay it down the natural, okay? Anybody have anything to add to that?
I think the whole way of looking at life, might look at life through what can I get out of it or what can I give?
Okay. To be served or to serve. Okay, now let's look at that next thing. We may not have had it in this order, but take up my cross. Now that's where I get confused.
I think that it's so easy to think of taking up other things going on the top.
Okay. Okay. Okay, the cross of suffering. Okay? Alright? Someone else, what does it mean to take up the cross?
It's your personal recognition that Christ died for you.
Alright. When Christ took up his cross, what did he do?
He did it for me.
Okay. What happened to him when he took up his cross?
He died.
He died. Now, what happens to me when I take up my cross?
You die.
Taking up means that you identify with the cross, which is placing there.
Okay.
Is that where we
place self? Place self on the cross, die. Okay.
I picture surrendering.
Surrendering, okay. Deny ourselves, take up our cross, and what? Follow. Okay, die, and then follow me. What does it mean to follow Christ? How do I do that?
Daily decision.
Okay. I mean,
moment by moment.
Follow Christ. If he was here and walked out the door, I could follow him. But he's not here in human form today, is he? So how do I follow him?
Live your life as he would if he were here now.
How do I know how he would?
Study
his word.
Walk by the Spirit and not after the flesh.
All right, by the Spirit and not after the flesh. Okay? If I'm going to follow Christ concerning the Bible, what am I going to do?
Study and obey his word.
Obey. Study and obey. Okay. Okay, now, if I want this to be true, what does it say? Jesus is Lord. What am I going to do?
Obey.
Obey. Obey the Bible. Okay. Do what?
You have to study enough, read enough to know what.
Exactly. Right. Right. So I have to deny myself. Take up my cross, follow Jesus by obeying him. And when I do that, then Jesus is Lord. And it's not some abstract theory, it's not something that I cannot experience and can't get in touch with, but it's something that can be real in my experience. All right, number five. What is the source of power for living out lordship? I've been attempting to do this for 25 years now, I think. What is the source of power for living out lordship? Philippians 4:13.
I do all things through Christ that strengthens.
How?
Through Christ.
Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All right, now if I'm going to live out lordship, I'm going to deny myself, I'm going to take up my cross and die on it, and I'm going to obey the Bible as I understand it and as it is revealed to me, then I'm going to need the help of Christ himself. John 15:5. Who knows that verse? Somebody will know that.
I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing.
How much?
Nothing.
Nothing. For without me you can do nothing. So where is this power to live under the lordship of Christ? Where is it going to come from? Say it again. The Lord. Okay. Comes from Christ. Comes from Jesus. What does it mean to abide? Read that again for us, Sir Alan, that first part.
I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit.
What does it mean to abide in him? To live, to walk?
Remain.
Remain. That's Crawford's message right there at the end, wasn't it? To remain. Stay with it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Continue on.
Don't tank up and then walk away.
Tank up and walk away. All right. So we live in Christ. We live in Christ. We exist in Christ. We remain in Christ. We continue on in Christ. And He strengthens us and He gives us power to live the Christian life, to say no to our fleshy self, to consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive unto God, and to obey the Bible as He reveals it to us. What will it cost you to make Jesus Lord? Now, Jesus is Lord, right? But to make Him Lord in your life, to experience that, what will it cost you to make Jesus Lord? Luke 14:33. What does that say?
So therefore, no one of you can be my disciple if he does not give up all his own possessions.
If he does not give up what? All his own possessions. King James says, forsake all that he hath. So, we started out by saying it's a surrender. It's not a struggle, but surrender the Christian life. Give up all that he hath. Give up all his possessions. Matthew 16:24. What do you think that means? Jesus wants you to be poor and have nothing?
Maybe hold him open-handed is one way I heard it.
Okay, open-handed. Okay.
Not seeking. Not seeking
possessions. Okay. Not making that the goal and the aim and the object of your life?
I think it's things that you once considered or that you treasured before you accepted Christ in your life. The things that you were striving after to find. Things that you thought were valuable.
And now?
And now are all lost.
All lost. To know Christ. Okay. Okay. Good.
I like the analogy of the hand, that we're to hold things with our palms up.
Okay.
Rather than our fist clenched and our palm down.
All right.
I think that's the difference in the cost of Him being Lord.
Okay. Doesn't mean you can't have anything in that palm.
Well, no, because then that way, if you hold it open handed and up, then it demonstrates offering rather than ownership.
Okay, good. All right, Matthew 6:24. Someone have that for us?
No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he also will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Can't have two masters. You can only have one Lord. Only have one boss. Can only have one controller. One sovereign. You love the one and hate the other. So, we started out, somebody said something about a choice, didn't they? About lordship, it was a choice. So we have to make this decision, we have to make this choice. Who's going to be our Lord? Who's going to be our boss? Who's going to be our master? Philippians 3:7-8.
But what things were gained to me, those on account of loss for Christ. You may doubtless, and I count all things for loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and can count them for dung, that I may win Christ.
Okay, who wrote that passage right there, that book?
Paul
think the cost was worth it? The Lordship of Christ?
compared it to dung.
Compared it to dung. Okay. Now, I think that one of the things that we need to see out of these verses and out of this portion of the study is that it is a costly decision to make Jesus Lord. It will cost you something.
What troubles, I think, a lot, where the fourth or us comes is when we lose things that are of true value. An unexplained family member,
mm-hmm.
the loss of a family member.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, that's, I think, the only thing that gets people through a situation like that. When he truly is Lord, it's not my choice.
Yes, it is. Dennis.
In my opinion, the Lord, the reason I'm attending this class is the Lord kind of distilled my annual New Year's resolutions, which usually is a long list of self-improvement things, to this one thing, simplifying it down. And this was the problem in my life as a Christian. I mean, it had nothing to do with my salvation, but everything to do with my maturity as a Christian. And you know, in my opinion, that's really why the church is so anemic, is because we've been saved. You know, we've got heaven taken care of, but we are not putting Jesus as Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, our gospel is, you know, the salt's lost its savor, and we don't see changed lives. We see the divorce rate in the church virtually the same as the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we've taken the, you know, the salvation message for eternity, but we haven't incorporated it into the real sacrifice, the dying to ourselves, and
mm-hmm.
so that we've got a changed life and something different to offer the world.
Right. All right. Thank you. All right. When you call Jesus Lord, what does he expect? Look at Luke 6:46. Someone read that for us.
Inclining to call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say.
And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Now, up here on the board we have written, Jesus is Lord. Now, does that make Jesus Lord? A saying that? The verse said we have to do what?
Do what he says.
Do what he says. We have to obey him. Okay. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? So we have to obey him. James 1:22. Okay?
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says.
Do what it says. Do not merely listen, or do not merely speak even the word, but do what it says. What do people often mistake for obedience?
Church.
Do what?
Hear it and agree with it.
Hear it and assent. Say the amen, shake your head yes, and go out and do exactly what you've always done.
Like when you tell your child to turn off the television and go to bed, and they say, 10 minutes later, they have a mood, and they say, I heard you. Okay.
Yeah.
I think in a sense, it's spiritual disciplines. Because a lot of times you'll think that you're obeying him because you're doing certain spiritual disciplines.
Okay. Okay.
Just for that, not only doing it, but do it now. Sounds like in 10 minutes.
Do it now. All right. Good. So he expects us to obey him. If we're going to call Jesus Lord, he expects us to obey. What kind of life does a person live when Jesus is Lord? 2 Corinthians 5:15.
That he died for all that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again.
Okay. What does that verse tell us there, Tom?
Live for him.
Live for him and not for what?
Self.
Not for ourselves. So, put Jesus first in every decision, in every area. Put Jesus first. Not ourselves. Colossians 1:10. Let's all turn to that passage right there. Colossians 1:10. Someone read that.
That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
All right. There's several things mentioned there in that passage. What's one?
Walk worthy.
Walk worthy of the Lord. What's another?
Being fruitful.
Being fruitful. Okay. Good works or being fruitful. What else? Pleasing Him. Pleasing Him. What else? Increasing in the knowledge of God. How are we going to do that again?
Study the Word.
Get in the book. Right. Get in the book. Study the Bible. So, He expects us to live for Jesus and not for ourselves. He expects us to walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him, doing good works, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So if you're claiming the Lordship of Christ, that Jesus is Lord, like the board says, then this is the kind of life that we're to live. How do you make Jesus Lord?
The first thing you have to do is ask Him.
Okay, the first thing you have to do is ask Him. All right, desire. Desire. If anyone wishes to come after me, over in Luke earlier, first thing that has to happen is you have to wish, you have to desire it. Now, what would make me desire Jesus to be my Lord? What is there about Him that would make me desire for Him to be my boss and my master and my sovereign?
Knowing Him.
Knowing Him. Okay. Knowing Him.
Realizing a need for Him.
What else?
Believing that
He's faithful.
Getting weary of trying it your own way.
Okay. Getting weary of trying it your own way.
I've found it helpful to be able to see in others that there really is something. You know, see the reality. You know, they say there's all this good stuff when you see it.
Okay. You know, When I know Christ and I realize how much He loves me, then that gives me this desire for Him to be the boss and the love of the Lord of my life. See, it originates from Him. Comes from Him. Because He loves me that much that He paid this price to redeem me. He created me. He redeemed me. He owns me. He has the right to me. And He paid this price of His life and His blood. Paid the penalty for my sin. When I realize that, when I know him, then that makes me desire for him to be my boss. So if I'm really loving Christ the way I should, I'll have a desire for him to be the Lord of my life. What's the second thing here? Decision. Okay, this is an act of the will. This is where lordship really takes place, I think. An act of the will. And Dennis, I think you mentioned a while ago that the illustration that I like to use demonstrating lordship is that within my heart there's a throne. And I sit upon the throne of my life. I'm my boss, you know. I'm the one. I'm number one in my life. That's me in the flesh. Jesus desires to sit upon the throne and be Lord. And so, in order for Jesus to sit there, you know, he's not a bully. He doesn't bust in the door and take over. You know, he knocks very gently at the door, and I have to go and answer and open the door. For Jesus to sit down upon the throne of my life, I have to get up. He'll never push me off or force me off, but I make the decision that I want to get off the throne of my life. I want to quit being the boss of my life, and I want Jesus to begin to rule. And so I get up off that throne and I invite him, someone said that earlier, I invite him to sit there upon the throne and be my Lord. An act of the will. Now when does this take place?
Daily.
Okay, before it takes place daily, when does it take place? Okay, it takes place at salvation. For many people, it takes place at salvation. You know, do what, Rennie?
I know where you're going with that, because I've got two parts to it.
Okay. When else does it take place then?
When you decide to submit.
Okay. You know, I came to know Christ when I was 12. And from the time I was 12 to 28, basically my life went downhill in my walk with God. And when I was 28 years old, I went to a Billy Graham crusade in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And Billy Graham preached that first night. And when Billy preached, God spoke to my heart. And he said, "You've ruined your life. You have everything the world tells you need to be happy. You got a new car. You got nice clothes. You're living in a singles apartment. All those things. And you're miserable. You don't have peace. You don't have contentment. You don't have fulfillment in your life." And so, that night at that crusade, I surrendered afresh and anew to the Lord. And I said, "Jesus, I don't know why you would want my life, but I believe that you do. And I'm going to invite you to come. And the best I know how, I'm going to try to make you Lord of my life." And I made that decision that night. That was 25 years ago. Now somebody said, did you say daily? Rennie, did you say daily? Okay. So I made that decision back 25 years ago, but that's a decision that I have to make fresh and anew every day. Every morning I have to get up and start all over again like I never made the decision before and say, "Jesus, today I want to deny myself and take up my cross and follow you. And I want to get off the throne of my life. And I want you to sit upon the throne of my life. And I want you to be my boss. And I want you to be my master. I want you to make the decisions." And so lordship, there comes a place in a person's life where he comes to a place he desires for Jesus to be Lord. It may be at salvation, or you may only get a taste of that then, and it may come at a second time in your life somewhere later on. But then it's a daily renewal and daily decision, day after day after day. Because our old natures, our old self, the flesh, is tricky. You know? And the moment I begin to grasp and take control and do my own thing and be my own boss rather than let Jesus, he's off the throne and I'm back on. And I'm not experiencing, although he is Lord, I'm not experiencing that lordship anymore. And so it's a daily decision. After we come to that place where we want Jesus to be Lord, it's a daily decision. Death. Third step is death. You have to die to your own desires. And basically that's that throne again. And then dedication. It's a daily experience. Day in, day out. Day in, day out. And then daily disciplines. And I believe this is where the disciplines come in to the Christian life. Y'all know the hand illustration? Somebody tell me, what's the first one?
Hearing.
What's the second?
Reading.
Third. Fourth.
Memorization.
Fifth. Okay, those daily disciplines that we have. And those are the ways that we stay close to Jesus. We stay in the Word so that we can obey Him. So we desire it, we make a decision, we decide, we die. We're dedication daily, and then the daily disciplines in the Christian life. Now, another illustration that I like to use besides the throne to illustrate this thing of lordship is with some circles. And this first circle shows the way that we all come into this world. Notice this circle is not round. It's kind of out of shape. Not really a very attractive circle up there. And I is the king. And that's the way we all come into this world. It's a prominent thing any longer. It's kind of shrunken up, let's say. It's no longer the captain of the ship, but now we've been born again, and the cross, Jesus, is there. And we're finding out what it means to die to self. And we're finding out what it means to obey. And we're finding how to make Jesus Lord in our lives. And so here's the man that the Bible calls spiritual or spirit-led or spirit-filled or something like that. But then there's a third illustration here. And this is the person who's a Christian. He's been born again. But I sits upon the throne of his life. The cross is there, Jesus is there, and that person, when he dies, is going to heaven. But he is not experiencing the lordship of Christ. And this is the person that the Bible calls carnal or fleshy or so on.
Is that also a lukewarm Christian?
Lukewarm, yes. Okay. And the problem in the Christian life is that we can go back and forth here on a pretty regular basis. And it all depends on what we decide. An act of our will. So see, I can be experiencing the Lordship of Christ. Everything can be going great. And I'm giving a good testimony. I've got a nice circle here for everyone to look at and admire. What a pretty circle. And just one decision. And I'm over here. And suddenly my testimony's damaged. And I'm no longer that attractive. I'm no longer that salt and that light and all that. And I'm the one that makes that decision, and I'm the one that chooses. Is Jesus Lord? Jesus is Lord. Am I experiencing it? Not if I'm over here. Not if I'm here, or not if I'm over here. All right. Any questions about that? Anything anybody would like to add there? Dennis.
I think that's the key point that Satan really attacks most Christians. It's not so much with the things that we would obviously associate with sin, you know, like pornography or adultery or whatever, but a lot of that can be good intentions. It can be, you know, taking on too much stuff at church and neglecting family or the quiet time or whatever,
mm-hmm.
under the good intentions of doing something more church or more for the kingdom of God, but not truly being led by to do that by the Spirit.
Okay, good. All right, well, when we find ourselves in this condition, how do we get back to here? Say? Okay. All right. All right, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So if we find ourselves over here in this situation, we simply go back to the Lord. And we say, I blew it. You know? Forgive me for that. And we go right back through the process again. All right. Why would someone not make Jesus Lord? I don't know why I put this last to kind of end the workshop on this negative note. John 10:26. Someone read that for us, please.
But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto ye.
Right here. This is one reason a person wouldn't make Jesus Lord, is because they never have come to know Christ. Jesus is still outside of their life. And so if that's the situation, a person needs to get born again, needs to come to Christ. Second reason is in John 3:19-20.
And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed.
Okay. Another reason that we wouldn't make Jesus Lord is because we love our sin. Mark 4:19.
The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
Cluttered hearts. Temporal value system. Too many things going on. Too many things to do. Jesus isn't in first place. Man must give up all his possessions, all that he has, to follow Christ. And then finally, 1 Corinthians 3:1-3.
And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?
Okay, and the fourth reason is because we're just worldly minded. Just carnal, fleshy, not that concerned about the things of God, but so tied up in our job, whatever it might be, that we just don't give the Lord time. Now, what does it say on top of the board? Jesus is Lord. The goal of the workshop. The goal of the workshop is for myself and you men as well to recognize and to experience that Jesus Christ is Lord. To make Him Lord in our lives. So that's what I'm going to be working at in the coming days. I pray that that's what you'll do as well.